Be seated. I want to give you some basic needs of the woman and also the man. Men have basic needs. Not much, but they got some basic needs. When you guys went to basic training, you were taught, you girls went to basic training, you were taught certain things that you really needed. Taught you how to get up in the morning, how to make your bed, how to roll your socks, and all those other things that go along with rolling them. Some of you found a corner that you could roll them all up and hide them, and then when they came in to check, you were, had them already done. You just put them in there, and they were just spotless and tight and everything. And but you learned some basics. You learned basics of protocol. You learned basics of who to salute and how to salute and how to march and how to eat. And that was fast. You learned a lot of things that helped you in your career in the military. Do you know the Christian life has some basics? Really, there are some basics that need to be learned. Some people just never learn them. Some people don't want to learn them. Some people, they go to the military and they hate their drill sergeant and they or their, what do they call them in the Air Force? Huh? TI. They just don't like them. The problem is, you might not like him, but you're going to do it. Have you found that out yet? You're going to do it. And there's a reason why you're doing it. See, but in church, we come to church, and some people just lollygag through their Christian experience and never learn anything. They're never willing to come under the authority of the local church, never willing to come under the authority of the pastor, never willing to come under the Word of God. And when they leave this world, they look back and say, you know, I didn't get much out of church. And you know what? You're right. I went away to Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, and they had a rule book, I would say, almost as big as the Bible. Brother Rick went to college, and the college was just starting, and he helped write some of those rules. No, excuse me. Some of those rules were written because of him. Amen.
Amen.
I have a friend of mine up in Alaska, and I forget how many rules at Hiles Anderson College were written because of that brother up there. One rule is you cannot barbecue in your room. He had a big day on the buses, had a whole bunch of hot dogs. And he bought too many hot dogs, and he thought, what am I going to do with this? He went down to Kmart, bought himself a charcoal grill and some charcoal, and had an industrial fan in his room, and put the fan right at the window, and blew that out, and had hot dogs. And there was a line of over 100 boys at his door getting hot dogs, and he had all the stuff for them, amen? This is the truth. Dr. Jack Scott got on top of his desk and yelled and screamed. He was the vice president at that time, yelled and screamed. He said, are you such an idiot? And this is what he said. But Dr. Scott, didn't you say in chapel that if there is no rule against it, life was not very good for Greg after that for a while. But anyway, some people just don't get it. There are rules and regulations in life. If you're ignorant of the law, there's no what? No excuse. And in the Christian life, unfortunately, it seems like there's a lot of ignorant people that have no idea what they're doing. And they come to church, and they're little social butterflies. They come to church, and they sit there with their their brains in their lap or something, and they don't get nothing. And as a Christian, there are certain things that you don't want to do. There are certain things that you want to do because God instructs us these are the things that we must do. And so I want to give you some basics for the Christian the husband and the Christian wife. If you're a teenager tonight, you need to listen very careful because it's going to be just a few moments. And some guy's going to say, "Will you marry me?" And you're going to,
"Okay."
And then all of a sudden, you're married and you're going, "What am I going to do with this dude? What am I going to do with him? He is out of his mind. This is not how I thought marriage was going to be." Well, little sister, listen to me. If you'd listen, instead of being worried about what you got on your Facebook and what you got on your, phone there, you're trying to text while I'm trying to preach, maybe you might get something. Amen. Amen. And I want to help you. I really do. I want to help you. I think it'll help you. First of all, man, this is one of his basic needs. I'd write it down. Ego. Ego there, ego there. No, ego. E-G-O. Ego. Man needs someone to boost him up and encourage him. Have you ever seen cheerleaders at girls' basketball games? You ever see cheerleaders at football games and boys' basketball games? Yeah. You know why? He wants people to think he's cool. Yeah, I'm bad. There's a little song I remember when I was in high school. You gotta be a touchdown. You gotta be a football hero to get along with the beautiful girls. Have you ever heard that? I just sang it to you. Come on, help me out. There's a reason for the boy's motives. Two things that a man needs. Number one, a young man flourishes over his what? His strength, the Bible says. Old men flourish over their gray hair. Young men want to show off their strength. Old men want to show off their wisdom. So man's basic need is ego. And if a man has an ego, like every one of us have. Don't look at me like that. Yes, you do. It's like the guy says, you know, I went down to Miami Beach and I turned 40. I couldn't stand it down there. He said, I kept trying to pull my gut in to walk around like this on the beach. I could only stand it for about 5 minutes. Then it really started hurting, amen. Don't you tell me, guys, don't go like flex. Hey, you grab me by the arm, I'm going to flex. You know that. I'm just going to do it. You are going to have... You're going to hear it. The guns. You know why? Guess what? I have an ego. And so do you. Yes, you do. Don't look at me like that. Yes, you do. I see a guy right there right now. He's going like this. His arms look like their heartbeats. I just thought I'd tell you that. Some of you girls, you don't know that. Don't be stupid. That guy that says, "Will you marry me?" He's saying literally, "Hey, baby, will you marry me?" You ever hear these high school kids? When I turn sixth grade, I want to sing bass. I want to sing way down low. I don't know what that meant, but I did. Not that you sing tenors bad, I'm just saying it. But anyway. Number two. You ready now? Man needs someone to boost him up and encourage him. Hello! You want to get along with your husband? Listen to me, girls. I'm trying to teach you something. He has an ego. He needs someone to say, "Hey, babe. My wife used to call me and said, "Oh man, you're a handsome ransom. You look good in that suit." She told me that this morning. I pumped them, and it hurts sometimes now, you know. My arthritis, you know. You're looking. Come here. Come here, Josh. Come here, Shelby. Come here, Jim. Come here. Girls, you're looking at ego right here. That's what gets us in trouble. Listen to me now. That's what Proverbs... Hey, Proverbs were written... Listen to me, boys. Proverbs were written for us men, not the girls. Solomon never had intended girls to read Proverbs. It was intended for us to read it. Because we have a ego. And some little girl comes up there and flitters her pretty long old eyes. Some of these girls can get some big long ones on after they put all that stuff on it, you know. Just staying cold, man. It's air conditioning. Amen. Yeah. Even old duffer like this, he's got an ego. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All of us got egos. That's why you got to be careful, dads and mamas. We teach our children, be careful who you choose. Because I may choose something that looks good, but it's not good for me. I tell you what, when you get married, you're stuck. You're stuck. You can't get rid of it. I mean, it. You can't get rid of it. There's no turning back. Number two. You know what the second thing for a man is? Appetite. And some of us do really good at that one. Both food and sex. And God gives some biblical rules on that. We find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Biblical rules, relationships in the marriage. By the way, it's in marriage. It's not outside the marriage. It's in marriage. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, he says, listen, there's two things a man gets in life. The love of his wife, and that is talking about the love of his wife and the food that he eats. That's all you get. That's all I'm going to get out of life. And I don't care how many pickup trucks and motorcycles and four-wheelers and hot rod cars and Lionel trains and airplanes and shotguns and rifles and pistols of all kinds. I don't care what you have. God said, God's word said, the only two things you're going to get out of life is the what? Love of your wife and the food you eat. You better concentrate on some things you're going to get. Amen. Now, in that, we've got a problem. I have a free will. So do you. I do what I want to do. Isn't that the truth? I'm going to do what I want to do. And you marry a girl, and she also has a free will. And she may not be hooked up to the same cellular company that you are. She may have a different program That's why it's so important for you when you choose a wife or choose a husband that you make sure that they're on the same plane or the same runway as you are. I've met a lot of families, a lot of couples that get married, and some of them marry girls in Korea, and some of them in Vietnam, and some of them marry in Germany, and some of them, and they do not come from the same line of thought and culture. Like some of these boys, these northern boys marry some little Dixie girl. I almost said Dixie chick, and that wouldn't be good, probably. I'm just wondering who's watching it and listening to it. But anyway, there's a difference. There's a difference in culture. Isn't there? Hey, y'all! You know, what in the world is that? So, a southern boy from Texas came up to Chicago and he said, how you want your hamburger? She said, cut the onions. And so they cut them up real fine. And down in Texas, you say, cut the onions. And said, don't. I don't want onions. So in our lives, when we choose someone that I'm going to live for the rest of my life, I want to choose someone. Listen, can you imagine? I've been with my wife almost 44 years. Why would I want to choose somebody that I'm not getting along with? Oh, yeah, she's cute. She can kiss good. You shouldn't find that out yet. But anyway, and I never kissed my wife until we got married. But, of course, she wasn't my wife yet. But anyway, get someone. My dad used to say this, and I laugh about it today. He said, on the farm, a man makes a study of the bull he's going to come in to breed his heifers. He said, what's wrong with some of these half-wits, whatever half-wit, I don't know what it is. He said, they'll go out and marry somebody. They don't know nothing about it, don't know their family, don't know their background. Listen, I'm telling you, go to her home. Check it out. If you want to live in I almost said hog pen. That's not very nice. If you want to live in a boar's nest. No, I don't want to say that. If you want to live in a mess, you better go see what mama does. I had a friend of mine. He went over to see his girlfriend. Oh, he's in love with her. Mama says, son, what'd you think about her mama's house? He said, Mama, you could eat on the floor. Oh, she says, yeah. She said, there's peas and beans and mashed taters and all over the place. You better check it out. Now, Roy and Carol, how many, 5 days? In 5 days they got married. You are a crazy woman. Or desperate. I don't know. How many else got married quick like that? How many? 2 weeks? God bless you, sister. Sometimes it works. Now, if you're as nice a guy as he is, hey, you know, but as nice guy as Roy was, but some children easy back there. But there is a point that a man ought to make sure that he's getting into something he wants to get into. Because once you buy into that, by the way, you can pick your wife, but you can't pick your relatives. Why is everybody starting to laugh and giggle at each other? Oh, my. Find out as much as you can about her. Find out as much as you can about him. I don't think my wife's parents would let me marry her if they knew my background. But thank God, when I was 19 years old, I made some real changes in my life. And I saw my friends and the way they were going down. I said, whoa, I don't want that anymore. I'm not going that way. I'm following Jesus' way. So some of you think that you married the most wonderful and perfect person in this world. And keep thinking of that. Amen. Some of you are going to like, ooh. Now, how are you going to do it? What are you going to do? Well, you're going to get in Bible. You're going to get in the Bible. You're going to read. You're going to try to do everything you can to do right. Amen. Man has an appetite. I remember when I was a kid, there used to be a song. And the song went like this. She sure is ugly. And the song goes, but she sure can cook. I found out something. Once a person hits about 50, 60, it really don't make any difference how they look. But that cooking is sure good, amen? Some of us just lucked out. Man, what a doll. Okay, ladies, you ready for yours? Now, by the way, girls, did you write down what you need to remember about that little boy that you married? You understand that? We don't grow up. No, they don't. Do they, girls? Do they grow up? Some of my elder ladies back there, they're telling you the truth, and you girls are just afraid to say something. We don't want to grow up. We will grow out, but we're not growing up. If tonight someone said, there are some firecrackers, there are some big things that make a big blow up things, how many of you boys be out there with me? Yeah! If there's something you can climb on that makes a lot of noise, how many going to ride? Amen. Yeah! We ain't growing up! Mm-mm! You didn't figure that out! Some of you guys just sitting there like, not me. You're a lie! You're a big liar! You need to hit the, before you take the Lord's Supper, you need it. You know we don't grow up. If it blows up, if it gets dirty, if you can wreck in it, we're with it.
Amen. Yep.
So man has an ego, and man also has an appetite. Food. And his sexual drive. And that will not change ever. So you better figure it out, girlies. God made you for man. Man was not made for you. God made, and that is not wrong. That is from the Bible. That is good. You ought to be so tickled who you are. And there are certain things in this world you can do that no man could ever want to do or could do or even think about doing. And you have a special place in this world. You understand that? The most important person in your life, whether you say it or not, is your mama. The greatest influence of my life was my mother. Greatest influence in your life, for the most part, was your mother. Don't you talk about bad about my mama. I'll beat you. And if I can't beat you, I'll get a can of gas and throw it on you and light a match on you. Don't you mess with my mama. But I'm going to tell you something about my mama. My mama loved my daddy. And she would literally worship that man and bow down to him and show him all kinds of love to him. Why would a woman want to be a man? Okay. Well, let's talk about the woman. The lady. Her basic need. Anybody got an idea what a basic need is?
Security.
What did somebody say? That was funny. Huh? Food? Shoes. Oh, yeah, I saw some pretty shoes today, man. Wow. I think a girl ought to have at least a cupboard full of them, amen. You just need them. Right, Carol? How many? No, I won't do that. Woman's first need is shoes, and then after that, security, all right? She needs to be appreciated and accepted. A while back, we had an issue at our home, and my wife was concerned about some things about how she was looking, and she went to Curves and went to, can't remember the other place she used to go, huh? Weight Watchers and things like that. You're looking at a man that never one time said anything that is not my place. I heard one guy tell his wife that she was fat and ugly and she needed to do something about it. You know what? If he'd said that close to me, I'd dropped him right there. I don't care if he'd beat me up, but I'll tell you what, I'd got one good lick out of him. I jack slapped him once, amen. That's not my responsibility. Now, some of you may have a little different about it. I'm sorry, buddy. I take my wife the way she comes. I'm happy the package God put her in. Hey, man, I love her. I don't care what. A woman needs to be accepted. It's none of your business. Sorry. Yes, they did. Yeah. She needs to be appreciated. I loved you. Hey, Marcia. How did a little farm boy from Michigan ever find such a beautiful wife? How'd that happen? That just gives me tickles every time she says that. I don't know. I finally said, it was God. It was God that brought us together. Our marriage is made in heaven. God made her just for me. I love that woman. She doesn't put on her seatbelt very good yet now, and every time I put it on, man, I'll tell you what. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Yeah. And she likes it. Yesterday I went over to Kalispell. Well, Friday I went over to Kalispell to preach yesterday morning at the Flathead Valley Mighty Men's Retreat. And about Miss Jeanette took care of her. What was it, about noon or something? She's getting a little antsy about where her husband was. How would some of you get antsy about where your husband is? Woman needs to feel appreciated. Write it down. She needs to be accepted. I accept you. The Bible said we're accepted in the beloved. We're the bride of Christ. And God accepts us. Aren't you glad God accepts us? Aren't you glad? That's why she should feel she's accepted. Does God love me? Yes. With an everlasting love. And God says that's what the man is supposed to do to his wife. As Christ to the church, so is the man to his wife. Accepted. I accept you. I never put you on a judge's stand and look at you and look at another woman. I accept you for who you are. And by the way, I'm not to look at the judge's stand. That's what gets some of you boys in trouble. You start looking around. I heard one idiot said, well, just because you're on a diet doesn't mean you can't look at the menu. You're stupid. Right. You start looking at that menu, you're going to say, hey, I'd like to have that better than that. God gave you one. That's all you get. Get on with life. Number two, the woman's need is that she has a nesting need, N-E-S-T-I-N-G, a nesting need. She has a need of being a homemaker, a wife, a mother. I heard one of the girls in my church one time says, all they want to do is get married and have babies. By the way, that's a pretty good biblical point. All they want to do is get married and have babies. What's wrong with that? That's what God made you for. Oh, preacher, who do you think you are? You're shoving a pig? Maybe. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I want to live like the Bible says. And that woman, every woman in this auditorium, if you'll tell me the truth, you'll say, hey, I need security. I need to be appreciated and loved and accepted for who I am. By the way, that's how you married her. Now, there's a lot of you women that advertised something else. And you're a fraud. You went crazy over him. You loved him. You did everything you could to get him. Then you get him, and then you quit it all. That's defrauding one another. That's saying, hey, this is the package I'm giving you, but here's really the thing I got in the box here for you. I went to a restaurant one time, and I ordered a friend of ours there, and they said, preacher, I want you to get anything you want. And I've been wanting to have one of these great big steaks. This is maybe 30 years ago. I cut meat, okay? So I understand the meat cut. You understand that? I know what a ribeye looks like. I know what a T-bone looks like. I know on a New York strip, whatever. I understand what they look, all right? Went to this really nice restaurant, and the person knew what I wanted, so he ordered it for me. And when they brought it out, it was not what that man paid for. And I said to the waitress, I said, ma'am, that's not the cut of meat that he ordered. She said, yes, it is. I ate it. But I was defrauded. Well, that man that bought my lunch was defrauded. There's some of you tonight that keep defrauding your husband. You said you were going to do some one thing, and this is where we're going to live, and this is where we're going to have. But all of a sudden, you've changed your mind and says, nah, I ain't going to be that way. Shame on you. And some of you guys told your wife that you were told that young girl that you were going to give her the moon, and told him you were going to give her all the stars and put them in her purse. And you told him how that you loved her so much that you would do anything for her. Now all you can think is about go hunting on your own time and do this and do that. And you forgot that poor little girl that you've impregnated with about four or five different kids. And she's home taking care of all. And you ain't helping a bit. Shame on you. You defrauded them. Let's be honest. Don't sell me a package that does not have what you said you're selling me. I said, I don't like that. I don't like to be cheated. Maybe you're not, are you getting it? Do you understand what I'm talking about? How many understand what I'm talking about? Security? That means going in the house before she does. Clearing the house before she comes in there. That means carrying in all the groceries. I mean, making sure that everything is taken care of properly, making sure the oven works, making sure that the lights work, making sure that all the switches and all the handles and on the doors. And if you can't do it, find somebody that can. But you take care of her. She is not as strong as you are. If you want a waitress, hire one. Years ago, the story was told about a lady that lived with a tyrant. He was the meanest creature in the world. He would literally give her a list before he left for work and said, "You better have this done or else." And as a good wife, she did it. She submitted. She just did it. He'd come home and the drawers weren't just right. He'd pull them out and dump them down. If the beds weren't made just right, he'd rip the stuff off. I mean, he'd rip the clothes off, the bed clothes off. If he came into the kitchen and things were done, he'd tear everything apart. And he'd tell her, "You better have that clean when I come back." 15 years that woman lived with that man, and he died. Thank God. That's what I hope some of you girls got. I'd hate for my wife to say, "God, kill him. God, kill him." I'd hate for my wife to pray that for me. Because my wife gets her prayers answered. That reminds me of during Prohibition, this lady found out they were making booze in certain places. She went down and she burned the thing down. Police said, "What'd you do?" "Well, I just put feet to my prayers, amen." But anyway, he died. She swore that she would never marry again. But somehow, this man showed kindness and said, "Will you marry me?" And she says, "No." And he kept it up. Yeah, I mean, he just kept it up. Finally, he says, I got to do something about this. This ain't got to wear me out." And she married him. One day she was home, and boy, she was cleaning everything, just making everything spotless. And she found behind the dresser drawer, she found a note from her former husband. And she read that thing and got mad and just started to cry. And then she thought of a second, and she started to laugh. She says, "You know what? I am doing the same thing for my new husband as I did for my old husband, but I'm doing it today out of love. With him, I did it out of fear." Boy, that's a tough way to live. If you want a queen, treat her like a queen. If you want a slave, treat her like a slave. Shame on us. I got some 4 A's. Man. These are the things man ought to do. Number one, he ought to provide authority. Provide authority. Number one, you need to provide authority. Number two, you need to provide affection. You know, girls like affection. They love affection. You know what? You can go on a trip, but you don't have to go for the whole ride, amen, sometimes. Provide affection. Number three, provide approval. She needs to hear praise and she needs to hear thanks. "Oh, honey, I can't thank you enough. What a great meal. Wow." Walk in the house and, "Man, what's cooking tonight, baby? I'm cooking." Whatever. Beans and weenies. I don't care if beans and weenies or San Francisco treat or what some of those other things you in the box, you pour it in and mix it up. Hamburger helper. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Or TV dinners. Do they still have them? My boys grew up in TV dinners. It was so cold in South Dakota. I mean, 30 and 40 and 20-mile, 30-mile-an-hour winds. We wouldn't leave the house for 3 days. And down at Lubitz's store, is it Lubitz's store? Down at Lubitz's store, we'd go down and buy these TV dinner. Hungry Man, Jack, or whatever. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'd tell my wife, boy, that's the best meal you ever made for me. 350 degrees, 15 minutes, amen? Provide approval, praise, and thanks. Provide advancement. Wife needs to feel she's going somewhere. Some of your wives may have started a college degree. Why don't you encourage her to finish it? There's all ways you can do it. You can get on the internet now. Give her a chance. You say, but Pastor, read Proverbs 31. Don't be stupid. Good night. Look at what that woman did. She's a hardworking woman. And the Bible said her light did not go out. Provide the wife needs. What she needs. You be careful how you look at her clothes and make sure she's wearing nice clothes. They don't have to be expensive clothes. They all be nice clothes. They all be clean clothes. You bum, you go out there and spend $500 on a brand new rifle, $500 to $600 on a good scope. You got your pick-em-up truck, brand new tires that cost you about, you got to go get a loan for them. You're going hunting. Hey, tit for tat, amen? What's good for the goose, good for the gander. Take care of her. Spoil her. Hey, honey, here's some money. No, better or less, here's a credit card. And you go down, now listen, some of you guys can't do this because you've never done it before, and she is going to go stir crazy and just go to take care of it because she don't think she's going to get to do that again. Give her the card and say, hey, I want you to go get out and get some. I don't want you to get anything for the kids. Them boys have enough junk. I want you to go down for you and take care of you. By the way, it don't hurt once in a while to get her a pedicure or a manicure or a massage or a facial. What's wrong with us? She's our queen or our princess. Why shouldn't she be taken care of? All the girls are smiling. All the guys are going to beat me up when I leave here today. Okay, ladies, here's the four things you need to do. All right? Ready? Are you getting them all? Number one, accept him. Accept him. I accept you. Nobody, for the most part, took a shotgun and made him marry you. Maybe some of you did, but anyway. Some of you Kentucky boys, but anyway. South Carolina boys. West Virginia. You got a white shotgun. You're getting married, boy. Accept him. You already did. I accept you. Yes, I will marry you. So you accept him. Number two. You need to provide affection. I remember when my wife was laying at benefits, and she had no control over her hands, her arms. You know what I'm yearning for? She just touched me. She just touched me. Last night I got in bed and don't show me out of that. Her feet were cold and put it on my back, even. She touched me. Provide affection. I love you. Oh, sweetest words you ever hear. Number three, provide approval. No, I'm in the wrong one. Number one, accept him. Number two, admire him. Got that? Admire him. Number three, you're not going to like this, but this is what you're supposed to do. Adapt to him. He's not to adapt to you. You're to adapt to him. Oh, by the way, I'm getting this out of the Bible. Adapt to him. You adapt to him. If he likes that, I love riding a motorcycle. I will not lie about it. I do. I enjoy it. It clears my mind. And just get on that thing. Give me 15 minutes. I can come back, park it. I'm happy. That's all it takes. She told me one day, I'd like to ride a motorcycle with you. Just get on back. You know, last night I pulled in from Kalispell and I parked in the middle of the garage. And I said, okay, look, we're going over to see Chad and Marcia. We're going to go out to eat with them. So I went out there and I came around the corner. And guess what? She's on my motorcycle. Let's take the motorcycle, she said. I said, it's too cold, baby. Too cold. She's adapted to me. Chad has always wanted his mother to go hunting. And he took her once. And then she told me, she said, I'll go hunting. I said, okay. So we went hunting. Saw a deer laying down, nice little buck. What do? Put the crosshairs on it. Just pull the trigger. Boom! Deer's over. And she said, what's so big deal about that? She says, honey, I'll hunt with you, but I'd just rather stay home and you bring it in, amen. And then when we bring it home, she gets all excited and tells us how wonderful and big it was, whether it's big or not. And she just, you know, what was she doing to me? She was adapting to me. She's an adapter. Dr. Hiles told me, Brother Shear, I want you to resign that church, come down to First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. I'm going to do some things, blah, blah, blah. I call her on the phone. Can you imagine what an idiot I am? I call her on the phone. I say, honey, and we just got that church in South Dakota just starting to hum. And I said, Brother Hiles wants to come to Hammond. She said, honey, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know what she did? She adapted me. I didn't go, but at least I never had to fight her about it. Some of you guys have to fight your wife about everything you do. Girls, adapt. He's going to do it anyway. Thought I'd tell you that. He is going to do it anyway. How many think that's right, girls? He's going to do it anyway. Get out of the way. Let him do it. And I like what Mrs. Smith used to say when they came here to our church, and she said, I believe in duck submission. If I don't think it's right, I just say, honey, I don't know if that's right or not with the Lord. And my husband said, honey, I think it is. She said, fine. And then she goes to God and says, God, if this is not right, you get him. I'm going to duck. Adapt to him. By the way, the more you adapt to him, the more he'll do for you. Number four, and I think this is the top. Appreciate him. Appreciate him. I appreciate you, honey. That's good, amen? Appreciate him. Well, I got a whole bunch more, but I can see the time. And it's almost 8:30. So, well, 7:22, but my brain is still 8:30. Let's stand. In a word of prayer, we're going to have an invitation. Some of you need to get on your knees before God. You're messing up. You're going against the principles of God's Word. And you're going to have a hard time. If you just fall in sync, fall in step. When you're married, you're no longer two, you're one. God makes you one. It's a mystery, God said. We don't understand it, but it's one. The other day, my wife and I were, I don't know what it was, but we both said the same thing at the same time. And we do that all the time. We're one. if you start pulling against the one, guess what? It's going to hurt, and you're going to have trouble. Hey, it's going to happen. Just keep on doing what you're supposed to do. Love him. Accept her. Praise him. Praise her. Love them together. Work together. You're in this thing. It is not you against him. It's you and him or against them. It's a battle. And you need to work it. You need to walk, work. You need to, you young girls that are looking for a man, you young boys are going to be looking for a woman, you want to make sure that you're very careful about what you choose. Because once he pronounces you man and wife, and I know the next thing is really fun, you may kiss the bride, there's a lot of things that really could become difficult. Or it become very blessed. An enjoyment and a thrill to think that you have someone that has chosen you and someone who loves you and someone wants to look the best for you. Look out for the best for you. And some of you need to just get some things straight at home and say, you know what, we're going to pull this thing together, not pull apart. And we're going to work on these things. And when crazy things happen, the one that's mad, let him be mad. And you back up and shut up. Don't push no buttons. Because some of you really know how to push the buttons. You flat out just drive them crazy. Just back off. Takes two to fight. Just back off. And I'll tell you what a real person said. I just read this the other day. It says, Don't go to bed mad. Just fight all night. Oh my. I wish I could just shake some of you and say, You're missing the fun of life. You understand? You're missing out. Because of some little petty junk. Or somebody said something. I'm never going to forgive you. Well, that's really good. Why don't you tell that to Jesus who forgave you all your stupidity and sins? Do you know that Bible says, forgive one another? Tenderhearted forgiving one another? As Christ has forgiven you, there's no reason why you should have a fuss. I think that maybe you ought to have a good talk and explain to him or explain to her why things aren't just the way they should be. But not out of meanness, but out of saying, hey, you know what? Let's get this thing taken care of. And if you have to spend all night, do it. Because it's best to love one another. Father, I pray you'd be with us now. I want these families in our church to be happy and love each other. Lord, as the family, so goes the church. Because the church is the family. And the family is the church. And dear God, we got fussing and bitter and bitterness and meanness and just downright foolishness in the family. Ain't much you can be done at the church. Help us, Lord Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Play some music. You come. Let God speak to your heart. Husband, you say, preacher, everything's good. Hey, you know what? That's when you ought to take your wife down and say, hey, let's just thank God it's good. Let's just thank God it's good. It's good. It's really good. Because sometimes it's not always so good.